grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, love boat, bud, buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in.
Damn straight. Welcome back to the 95 BFM situation, Chris Fowley.
Can I just quickly get in there? I've just had a bit of a flashback to Wu-Tang the other night. And Wu-Tang covered this very song.
Did they?
That's pretty cool, eh?
Wu-Tang like that.
Is that too loud, Chris? How are the headphones? Up, down.
Thank you for your consideration. Very good.
Okay, good.
lovely to be back.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah. Awesome day out there. And what do we have in the news today?
I guess not a lot going on, really. We're just sort of going to kick back into the when does Parliament rock up again?
End of the month.
Okay.
Yeah, from the 28th or something like that.
Hasn't there been a new poll just came out about 10 seconds ago about people in favour of legalising recreational cannabis?
Online poll?
The poll itself was done back in October, actually, but it's had a few rounds in the news, which I don't know.
Yeah,
news time. So it's not a new poll.
Is it a stuff poll? Or?
I think it was Horizons or something.
What I want is a poll that's like quite right, and then I'll know
where we're at.
You know what I mean? I don't want a poll that's like in my own little festering Facebook situation.
Hang on. If the poll is done by phone, like a landline, then it'll just be oldies.
So that's the other thing. Surveys are weird, because most people doing surveys are weird.
Who's got a landline?
Ultimately, as Winston Peters says, the only poll that counts is Election Day. And of course, next election, going to be referendum.
Winston Peters definitely says that.
That's one thing. So I thought we could throw around some predictions here, because it is one of those periods where nothing really has advanced. There's stuff been going on overseas.
Okay, but...
One of my predictions, in fact...
You sound like this is sort of a betting scenario.
Oh, yeah. Okay. What do you got going? I got my papers spread out before me. I've got my bets.
Well, I would like to also touch on the fact that it's that time of year, if you got the DAC outside. Where should your DAC be at this stage, Chris, would you say?
This all depends on your situation. Of course, one of the risks of growing cannabis is getting caught, so be very careful out there.
But like, if you do get caught, you can have up to 10 plants and it's personal?
You can't have any.
Like, what is the threshold here? There is like a...
Above 10, it's presumed that you're doing it commercially, and then it's up to you to unprove that, which, it might be easy, might not be.
Depending on what you got laying around the house.
Yeah, it's kind of a nominal number. It's 1 ounce, 10 plants, or 100 joints.
Interesting.
Yes, they don't define a joint either, so you can be creatively large.
1 ounce joints.
The sky's the limit, really. But anyway, so yeah, where to grow? Well, dependent.
Where should your DAC be at this point? Ready to flower?
Okay, so we're just past solstice, so the plants will be starting to sex if people are growing outdoors. And I guess theoretically, we're talking here about hemp farming.
Yeah.
Of course, people with a license growing it legitimately. Yeah. And so when the daylight hours start to turn after the solstice, then you get it starts to flower, and then you know whether it's male or female.
Get on that 12-on-12 situation.
If it's indoor under lights, yes. Or supplemented lighting in your greenhouse.
Okay.
With a shade cloth, could be done.
Cool.
I'm sure that there's a lot going on out there. And what also seems apparent is that the police have backed off. They've kind of heeded the message. We're in a new era now, right?
We've got
law reform on the horizon. It's not in anyone's interest to go around arresting people, especially if they might be doing it medically. And I don't think even people that oppose law reform don't want to see that sort of court case happening, because it looks bad for their side. So, they don't want it. So I think we're going to see a bit more tolerance and a bit more backing off. The helicopter won't be quite so prevalent.
This obviously saves police time, resource, and money. Do you have? I know that sometimes the government is sort of a bit of a mystery. Where will all this money go? Like, is that hard to make a prediction on all this saved money?
It won't
money?
Be taken away from the police, so it's not really a saving as such. That won't happen. They won't change the law and go, right, now we're chopping $300 million off the police budget, right? That just won't happen. So the police budget will stay the same, and it's about what they reckon they spend on it when they tot up the hours. So that's just the direct costs, right? That's not all the indirect crime or whatever. That's just what they can account for.
Right.
They'll get all those extra hours free to do other things that are more important. So we won't necessarily see savings as such. We'll just see better uses of those resources on that side.
Okay.
Meanwhile, if you tax and regulate it, which is really the big question around the referendum, we know the referendum is going to happen in the next election. We know it's going to be binding. So given that it's going to be binding and given that it's being proposed by the government, what we also know, and this is another prediction, is that it will pass. Right? They are not going to put up a question that fails. So they will do polling, whether it's private or public, we don't know yet, but they will only put up something that they know will pass by a sizable majority.
Yeah.
And that's why we're not seeing the question out there yet, because they want to leave it to the last minute so they can maintain flexibility and have the best possible question.
And they're doubling down on the referendum, right? Are they going to loop a few things into it?
It could be even more. It could be with euthanasia.
Is
but let's not get distracted by that.
How much does it cost to do a referendum? I mean, we know the flag is about 50
million.
Well,
it won't cost much if it's done during the election. That's
right.
Part of the point, I guess.
Right.
But if you hold, you know, the flag one was a big waste of time. That was 20 something million.
But, I actually shudder when I even think about it. Such a terrible time in New Zealand's history.
Chris, I've just got a quick question. Is anything being done to say, obviously, if this passes and cannabis is legal in New Zealand, is there anything being done to protect small local growers as opposed to, you know, like Corona coming in and just taking over the local market and being dominated by a big corporate?
Yeah, well, that's one of the, you know, it could go both ways. We could have a mix, but certainly Constellation Brands that are the owners of Corona, they're big in New Zealand already in the wine industry, in the beer industry, and they've invested billions of dollars in Canada.
That kind of thing is definitely on the cards. It's not the right or wrong, but I'm just, you know, like, obviously if there might be boutique
people.
I don't think it's a good system. Don't at me.
I think it's fine to take a position on that, so that's not what we want. I mean, if you look at any industry, no matter what it is, especially something around food or medicine, if you're reliant on overseas suppliers, that's not the ideal situation. It might be how it works out in a lot of things.
Yeah.
We don't make our own cars or whatever. It'd be great. Well, whatever, right? But
we did. We have made one car way back in the day.
Ideally, if we can do it here. And a lot of that comes down to the regulatory settings. So, for example, if they set the fee structure really high, for example, it could be millions of dollars for a fee, right? They might say, oh, your license has to be for 10 years, so we know you're serious, and it's $1 million a year, and you're paying up front, $10 million. So who's going to pay that? Well, Constellation might, but who else, right? Whereas if you go, okay, let's make it a bit like setting up a craft brewery, right? Not everyone can do that, but if you're kind of foodie and a bit, you know, you've got a bit of nous, you can get some money together with you and your mates, or you can buy a cafe, or in terms of getting a liquor license, right? It's not beyond the realms of possibility for people. Anyone can kind of enter that industry if they want to.
Mm.
They might not be Lion Breweries, but they can have their own little microbrewery.
Like
or whatever,
a food safety.
Right?
Type
exactly.
Thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's what a big priority for us as an industry is working on those regulations in the first few months of the year, because they're going to be ready by the end of the year, so they really get decided in the next few months. So that's another kind of prediction.
Could there be a difference between getting a license for local market and then getting in a license for medical or a license for export? Would it just be like the sort of things which are
Well, it will only
existing?
Be so at the moment you can get one for export right now, and but they won't, right? So a lot of it comes down to just a change of stance or interpretation on the part of the authorities of just allowing things, but also those regulations. In terms of export, it's governed by the receiving country for what's going in there. So you produce to the regulations of the receiving country.
Yeah.
But you still have to convince the authorities here that it's a good idea to allow it. So anyway, I think we'll start to see that kind of thing. I think by the end of the year, we'll start to see the first products emerge from New Zealand production, and we'll start to see the first patients using them as unconsented products. But I think that will happen by the end of the year. And we'll also know, well, certainly the government will know by the end of the year what the question is on the referendum. I don't know if, not sure if we'll know it in public.
Hey, you know,
but
testing,
I think the government will know.
Just real quickly, testing DAC. Do you give someone a placebo DAC and someone the real DAC? How does that work?
That's one of the issues around testing, is that with all psychoactive drugs, is that people kind of know whether they're on them or not. So, I mean, you can, you know, hemp is a placebo in a way because it looks like...
Yes, okay.
Smokes looks like cannabis. You know, it's cannabis. It smells like it. It tastes like it. You smoke it. You can breed hemp to be really tasty. So hemp can be used as a placebo, but, you know, a few minutes after smoking it, you kind of know you've had some hemp.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So... Yeah, but that's one of the things that kind of needs to be worked on. But you've touched on an interesting thing. I just before I wanted to touch on before we go, and that's it's not strictly to do with cannabis, because cannabis doesn't really need it so much, but that is around the issue of pill testing.
Yes.
That has kind of flared up both in Australia and New Zealand.
New Zealand, like
everything to do with drug policy these days, New Zealand's taking a really good stance on that and really progressive and really just like, what the hell's the big deal? We're going to change the law on this. But will it be talk, or will they actually do it? You know, will it take a death?
Because certainly Chloe, we got Chloe in there now. She's pretty grunty.
Oh, she is. And it is a very simple change. And in fact, the Section 12 of the Misuse of Drugs Act, that is what they've all got a hang up about, which is what is allowing your premise to be used. And so this is the it really comes down to the festivals and the places where people consume drugs, and where they're doing them in more risky situations, because they're doing it in a situation they're not normally in, and they're doing it potentially with people they don't know, and they're doing drugs that they don't necessarily know.
Also, so I might not have enough to share with the testing person. You know, I don't.
That happens like too. I've seen people get their pills tested, be told that they're toxic, and then take them anyway. I mean, you know, I've spent money on it, that kind of thing. But
that's dangerous.
But the thing is, from the festival's point of view, they're worried about this part of the law, because the police tell them when they go for their liquor license, which is the only drug they're allowed to get a cut of, right? And it turns out it's probably the most harmful one out there, and it's the one that all the festivals are based on selling. So they all want their share of the liquor, and to get their license, the police say, you need to do something about the drugs. And so they're all going around trying to confiscate them and things. Again, it's interpretation. They could easily back off, but they could also easily delete the Section 12 of the Misuse of Drugs Act. They actually don't even need to amend it or replace it. This is why it's so easy.
Just delete it.
When it was written, there was nothing in there about kind of like drug dens and crack houses, right? That's what it was about.
It was just a classic. There were just your classic drugs out there.
It was really about the opium dens that the Chinese kind of community had going, and that's what it was really about, right? But now you have the Proceeds Crime Act, right? So you actually don't need that clause in the Misuse Drugs Act anymore.
I think, Chris, we could probably delve deeper into this next week, focus on this as a sort of for the whole segment almost. Get right into that and how we could handle that, because I think a lot of our listeners will be affected by that, and I think it's a great thing that should be happening.
Common sense safety thing that should be. It's a no-brainer, I think. Testing.
Well, there's some good stuff going on right now, and Know Your Stuff and Deep Space doing some really good work around the festivals this summer.
Okay,
so you keep an eye out for them.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, hey, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Great first edition of Marijuana Media. Sorry, it felt like I sidetracked you a bit there, but great.
All good.
See you next
time. Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.